Glory to God. It's great to be together in the house of the Lord today. Sense the presence of the Lord. Hear the prophetic word that came to strengthen us and encourage us. It's time to look to the word of God today. I have the privilege to speak on the subject, the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's turn to Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 19. The words that Jesus quoted out of the Old Testament as he announced his ministry in his hometown of Nazareth. Luke 4:16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the great and wonderful day of God's acceptance of people and receiving them. Jesus Christ announced his ministry to all of us. He announced his ministry to the world in these words. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Holy Spirit is upon me, and I'm giving a new day. I'm giving a new year. I'm giving a new life into the earth. I've come to touch the beggar, the broken, the bound, the blind, and the bruised. I'm going to touch humanity. I'm going to heal them. I'm going to comfort them. I'm going to restore them, and I'm going to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." What is the acceptable year of the Lord? The Amplified Bible says it's the day in which God's favors profusely abound. The day in which God's favors, that's Jesus announcing. He says it's a day where the favors of God are going to abound in the earth. A day where God graciously receives people. A day in which God welcomes the sinner. A day in which God draws all of us close to himself and brings us under his favor, under his blessing, under his glorious work. There's an allusion here in these words, the acceptable year of the Lord, to an Old Testament passage, Leviticus chapter 25, and it was the year of Jubilee, the year of Jubilee. It was a very, very wonderful year in God's economy for his people. It was a year in which God would favor his people in a very special way, like no other time. And of course, the word Jubilee is the word 50th. Every 50th year in Israel, God did something very, very spectacular. And that is that he cared for his people for an entire year in a very special way. That he invited them to rest in him and to enjoy his provision. Every seventh year in Israel was to be a sabbatical year. Every seventh year, God would give them a rest from their labors. For 6 years they'd labor, and God said, in the sixth year, if you believe me, if you walk with me with all your heart, in the sixth year, I'm going to give you a double portion so that the harvest of the sixth year will last right through the seventh year, and you'll have a year of the blessing of the Lord. But these seven Sabbaths went up to year 49, and in year 50, God says, I'm going to give you an extra year. So much so that the produce of year 48 is not only going to cover through 49, but it'll cover through 50 as well, and you will know the blessing of the Lord. God says, I want you to rest in my provision. I want you to know how much I care for you, how great my supply is toward you every 50th year. We know the word Jubilee. We have a Jubilee auditorium in our city built in 1955, and it was there to commemorate the 50th anniversary of this province becoming a province, the year of Jubilee. Jesus said, I've come to announce a Jubilee. Whatever you've experienced, it's a new day. The Lord said, I want to give you a new day. I want to let you know my favor. Whatever you've experienced, however you've walked, let it be known there's a new day for you in God, that the favor of the Lord has come. Now let's look at Leviticus 25, verses 9 and 10. Leviticus 25, 9 and 10. The whole chapter is really on the year of Jubilee, but these two verses in particular kind of sum up the chapter. It says, then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement, the day of the cleansing of the people's sins. Shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land, and you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. You shall proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto every person. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you will return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. This glorious year of jubilee, this acceptable year of the Lord. Now, Jesus said it's not going to be something that occurs every 50 years for only a year. He said, I've come to declare and announce the acceptable year of the Lord starting right now with my ministry and to go through to my second coming. It's for everybody. And the Lord said that he would do through three things, that he would release the captives and that he would restore us to our inheritance, our possessions, and that he would return us to our families. The trumpet sounded and people had to believe the message. The trumpet in Scripture speaks of the prophetic voice. The trumpet of God was blowing as Jesus stood in the synagogue that day making that announcement. Isaiah 58:1 says, lift up your voice like a trumpet. There was a day when the Son of God stood in the earth and he lifted up his voice like a trumpet and he let forth a sound. He said, I'm proclaiming the year of the Lord. I'm proclaiming the year of Jubilee. And everyone who has a heart to believe, because the Bible says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. That we would open our hearts this morning and hear the sound of God's trumpet, the sound of God's voice, and what he wants to do in our lives, and how he wants to deliver us and change us and give us a new day in God. Hallelujah. Three favors today of the Lord. Three blessings of the Lord in the year of Jubilee. Number one was the release of the captives. Release of the captives. Release to the captives, Leviticus 25:10, and ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land to those who had become bondmen and bondwomen, those that were under slavery and under the yoke. In the Old Testament, this passage related to people who had incurred debt and had brought themselves into servitude to other masters because of the debt load that had occurred on their life. They had become bondmen, bondwomen. They were serving other masters. But in the spiritual, and we must bring it over into the spiritual because that's where Jesus brought it. He said, I want to release the captives. I want to set people free from their bondage. I want to set them free from their sin debt and captivity that has taken hold of their lives. The bondage, the power of sin, the oppression of sin. People get into debt for various reasons. Some are born into debt, struggling with the sins and iniquities that have come down from fathers and mothers. And there's cruelty and oppression in homes because of the sinful lifestyle and ungodly attitudes and spirit that have come into that home. Other people get themselves into debt by unwise choices, unguarded morals, ungodly companions and associations in the world. And there comes a captivity, there comes a debt upon our lives. The Bible says in the Lord's Prayer, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Sin is a debt. Where Matthew says, forgive us our debts, in Luke's record, it says, forgive us our sins. Sin is a debt. It requires something. It's unfinished business. There's a demand with sin. Sin must be paid for. Sin must be repented of and restitution made for that debt to be cleared up. And the good news of the gospel is that in Jesus Christ, you are set free from your debt. In Jesus Christ, you can get out of your debt free. Because somebody has paid. Somebody has paid. Jesus Christ has paid the sin debt for our lives. He said you could never recover yourself. You could never bring yourself out of the bondage and captivity of darkness. But I have paid with my life on the cross. I've paid with the precious blood. I've paid to swallow up all your debt, to pay those debts and sins that you can be received into the presence of God. Jesus Christ has freed us from the captivity of sin. But he also wants to free us from the captivity to sin. To sin. Because we understand there are two parts to our Christian life and growth. One is that we must be forgiven of the sin debt that has come upon our life in the fall, in our waywardness, when we didn't walk with the Lord. But there's also a propensity to sin. And the Lord wants to come and deliver us to release the captives from the sin propensity to sin, those moral weaknesses in us, those sinful attitudes, those wayward entertainments, those lusts that are in our heart. Jesus Christ has come to announce the acceptable year of the Lord, that we can be set free from the power to sin. The Apostle Paul said, Galatians 5:17, the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. There's a contest inside of us. There's a contest every day as we walk in this world. What will I manifest? What will come out of my mouth? What attitudes will come out of my spirit? How will I live this day today? Will I live by my own dictates? Will I live by my own base and inferior nature? Am I going to live after the new person that I am in Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul said, Romans 7:24 and 25, he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He was talking about that struggle of the flesh and spirit, knowing to do right, but there's such a pull in the carnal nature, in the lower nature. And he said these words, "Who shall deliver me?" He said, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ our Lord." We have victory in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wants to deliver us and set us free from the propensity to sin, that he sanctifies our lives and brings us forth in godliness and righteousness and holiness. We are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. There's no obligation in us to serve the lower nature, the base nature, the ungodly attitudes, the inferior way of life. We are debtors to live after the Spirit, the Bible says. And how tragic it would have been, and how tragic it is. Can you imagine that trumpet of Jubilee sounded, bringing release to the captives? Can you imagine somebody in Israel not responding to the sound of the voice of the Lord, that God said there's liberty, and that person would have remained under their cloud of bondage, servitude, despair, hopelessness, when God said, "You can walk out of your prison today because the debt has been paid. The price has been paid." I pray for all of us as we deal with the flesh and the spirit, that base and inferior nature that lingers in us because of the humanity, the fallen sons of Adam that we are. But yet that call of the Holy Spirit and that life of the Spirit to live in the power of God, that we would not despair, that we would not say, "I must be content to live where I've lived." Don't believe the lie that you can't change. Don't believe the lie that says, "My family always struggled with this problem and I've got it too." Jesus said, "I'm giving you a new day." If you'll listen to the voice of the Lord and receive that prophetic trumpet, you will live in a new way of life. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Stand fast in the liberty. Jesus Christ has set us free from carnal attitudes and excessive entertainments and things that pull us down and bring us into weakness and discourage our hearts. Jesus Christ has set us free. The Bible says he always causes us to triumph in Christ. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. So we thank the Lord today that there is freedom from captivity. The year of the Lord has come. The year of Jubilee has come. The trumpet of the Holy Spirit is sounding in our hearts that we are set free from sin and we can walk free from sin. If there is some element in you today, some aspect of attitude or spirit, some behavior that has taken hold of you, some habit that you know pulls you down and is not right, in the name of Jesus, you can break that this morning. Believe the word of the Lord. Take hold of the power of God. Sin shall not have dominion over you. The more we live in the Spirit, the more we live by the Spirit, the renewed person we are in Christ, the greater our liberty, the greater our joy, the greater the fullness of the Holy Spirit inside of our life, the greater we appreciate and enjoy living. Because the Lord has set us free. It's the year of Jubilee, release to the captives. Number two, in Leviticus 25 and verse 10, restoration of inheritance. You shall hallow, set apart the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession. Every man to his possession. Every person returning to their inheritance. In the Old Testament days, if somebody incurred debt, they could sell their land in light of the year of Jubilee. And they could become these servants under other masters until the year of Jubilee. But God said in the 50th year, all land will return to the original owners. God said, the land is mine. The land of Canaan is mine. And when God gave it to his people, he parceled it out to the tribes and to the individual families. And he said, I want you to live in this land. This is my blessing. This is my inheritance for you. But again, if through a lack of discretion, somebody got into debt, they could sell their land, that is, lease it to somebody in light of the Jubilee that was coming, and each year had a land value attached to it in light of the year of Jubilee, and they could clear up their debts. But they knew when year 50 comes, that property goes back into my family. It goes into our inheritance, and God will restore us back to the land. The Lord has given us a wonderful announcement in the year of Jubilee because he has in there a promise that each of us have an inheritance from him in the earth, each of our families have an inheritance from God, and that in the ministry of the Lord, he's going to restore our inheritance in the earth. It speaks of God's promise to provide for us, to give us occupation, to give us enterprise, to make us fruitful, to give us a life that satisfies, to give us a life that has meaning in it. Now, nobody can interfere with the inheritance of the Lord. Nobody can take our inheritance. We can only forfeit it. But nobody can take it because God has given a place in the earth for every individual person that is specifically theirs. And if we will superintend and manage the possession, the will, the inheritance of God for our lives, it will prosper under the glory of God. David said in Psalm 16, he said, the lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. The surveyor's lines, he said, God has gone out and he's cast out the surveyor's line. And he said, David, this is your inheritance in the Lord. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. He said, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. And for all of us today, there is a pleasant place for each of us in the Lord. And we must receive the inheritance of the Lord. The trumpet is blowing. There's a voice in the Spirit that says, you have a place in the earth. You have a gifting in the earth. You have a responsibility for God. You have an opportunity in this life to do something that will last, affect time, but last for eternity. It's the inheritance of the Lord for each person. I was so blessed last Sunday night as we listened to the word out of Proverbs 13:23. It's a word I'll never forget. There is much food in the tillage of the poor. Those who are poor in spirit. There is much tillage. There's much harvest, I mean. There's much food in the fallow, the uncultivated ground of the poor. But we have to bring it out. See, it can be forfeited by lack of judgment, but God says there is much potential in the soil of your life, in the soil of your living in this world, but we must bring it out. We must begin to break up the fallow ground and seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness upon us. We're the ones who have to get involved with the inheritance of the Lord and understand that God has returned us to a possession, to an inheritance, and that we must work it, that we would put away the idle time, the wasted hours and the wasted evenings, and the time-robbing distractions, and become fruitful. Become fruitful. Lord, you've given me a plot of ground in this world, and I want to become as fruitful as I am able to under your name and by your glory. Hallelujah. Learn some new things. Develop the gifts and skills and talents that are useful for your occupations and your life and your family. Practice your music lessons and learn to cook. Read some anointed books. Gain in this life. God says there's a trumpet blowing. We don't have to live in a fruitless, idle existence, come to the end of our days and make it to heaven, but as the Bible says, that God wants to give us an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom. Lives that are loaded down with fruit, labors of prayers, labors in the word, labors for enterprise in the earth. Hallelujah. The acceptable year of the Lord. I hear the trumpet blowing. I hear the trumpet blowing. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth with the glory and the knowledge of the Lord. How about Acts chapter 20 and verse 32? An inheritance in the Word. So powerful, these words of the Apostle Paul. Acts 20 and verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace. The Word of His grace, that was the preaching of the apostles in that day as they brought forth the New Testament revelation. I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The Word of God will give us an inheritance in this life. We will stand in fruitfulness. We will stand in joy. We will stand in the blessing of the Lord. And here's a call that we get involved with the Word of God, that we get a paper Bible and we begin to work in the Word, because God says, if you will work in the Word, I will give you an inheritance among those that are the holy people of God. And so we take our Bibles and they become second nature to us. We know the pages. We've marked the pages. We've highlighted scriptures. We've put notes in the margins. We've maybe noted dates in the margins where God has done significant things in our life, where a rhema word has come. It's one thing to have the Bible on screen and 30 translations at the, you know, move of your finger, but it's another thing to have the Word of God in your hands that you can look at and work with and build into your life. We live in our North American world in probably the most biblically illiterate Christian culture that has ever walked on the planet. People know about the Word, they know of the Word, but they're not working in the Word. And much of what has happened is that the expository preaching of the Word of God has been set aside in many churches and many pulpits out of a desire to accommodate or appease a casual Christian crowd. A seeker-sensitive gospel. But the Bible says that there's an inheritance for the saints in the Word of God, and that as we come under the teaching and preaching and the counsel of the Word and we get involved with the Word, that God will give us an inheritance. an inheritance, a fruitful place, a powerful place for our lives, so that when we open up our Bibles, we find that we're standing in grain fields and we're eating the bread of God. Until we open up this word and it's so well known to us and its scriptures are so alive in our hearts that we drink the wine of the vineyards of the kingdom of God in this book, and our hearts and spirits are set on fire with holy oil because we've been in the oil press. Tears have fallen on these pages. Hearts have cried out. Longing has come. Thirst has come after God. And because of it, we enjoy the inheritance of the Lord. Hallelujah. Get involved with the word. God wants to restore inheritances today. The family inheritance. The more you take in of this word, the more that this word becomes a part of your life as fathers and mothers and leaders, the more will be the inheritance for your children, because you can enlarge the inheritance of the Lord. You can extend, you can exalt the inheritance of God in your life and family so it goes down generation after generation, because the power of God, like it was said of Abraham, God would bring favor, God would bring blessing on the families after him because Abraham had walked before God with all his heart. Hallelujah. Covenant man and his wife before the Lord. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Heaven and earth, this world will pass away, but these words of God will never pass away. The more we gain of this word in this life, the more we take into the eternities with us forever. The more we can understand this book, the more it's written on our hearts, the more it brings blessing into our life, the greater will be our inheritance in the world to come, because this book goes through into the everlasting kingdom of our God and his Savior. I encourage you this year, the trumpet's blowing. The acceptable year of the Lord is here. If you haven't been in the Word, open up your Bible. Begin to call on God. Say, Lord, open my eyes. Anoint my eyes that I can see. Lord, I want this Word to begin to burn in my spirit. I want this to burn in my family and in my life. And ask God to give you a new day in the inheritance of the Lord. Hallelujah. Number three, the acceptable year of the Lord, Leviticus 25:10, has to do with the family. You shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. You shall return every man unto his family. That people would come out of bondage and the family relationships would be restored. We would learn how to humble ourselves before one another in our homes so our families are strong and there's blessing and life. That we would ask God to take the stony heart out of our flesh and give us a tender and kind and loving spirit to our wife, to our husband, to our children. The acceptable year of the Lord is here. The prophetic voice of the Holy Spirit is speaking. God says, I want you to return to your family. I want you to pour out kindness and tenderness and compassion. I want you to make some things right where there have been breaches and unkind things said. There's been hurt and damage. God says, this is what I'm about. I want you to return to your family. I want you to heal some relationships. I want the family to be blessed once again. The greatest single force that breaks marriages and breaks homes is hardness of heart. As Jesus said, he said, it's because of the hardness of your heart that there's strife in your homes and that there's breakdown in marriages and among children and families and divorce in the land. He said, but in the beginning it was not so. Matthew 19, in the beginning it was not so. Jesus is saying it was never in the heart of God that this would take place in the families of earth, because God is a restorer, God is a healer of families. And so the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Cherish them. Care for them tenderly. They're like a fragile vase, Peter says, the weaker vessel, a fragile vase to be handled carefully because of the value and the beauty. Husbands, love your wives, and it says, be not bitter against them. Say, well, my wife isn't meeting all my expectations, and so resentment builds up in our heart. See, the Bible knew about this situation in human relationships. It says, love your wives and don't be bitter against them. Don't regard it of the utmost importance that your wife or anybody else fulfill all your expectations. So lay that aside and let your expectation be to walk in the Lord and fulfill His word and to be a blessing, and you'll be blessed in return. So let the wife see that she reverence her husband. She reverence and respect her husband and honor him. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord. And fathers, it says, don't be harsh and oppressive to your children, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The nurture is the care, the cultivation. The admonition is the teaching, the instruction. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What's that saying? It says you bring them up exactly like Jesus would do in your home. How would Jesus speak to a son or daughter that's misbehaving, and how would he deal, and what kind of principles, and what kind of strength, and what kind of manners, and what kind of words would he have? Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Treat them like Jesus would treat them. Raise them like Jesus would raise them, knowing the tendencies of the human heart and the waywardness that's there and the sometimes distraction and disinterest that's there, but knowing that we must position our children for fruitfulness and to guide them in a meaningful way so they can grow up and be men and women of God. What kind of spirit of the Lord needs to be in our hands to guide our children properly? Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Jeremiah 31:1 says, at that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel. I will be the God of all the families. And the words are spoken in the midst of a passage that speaks of a restoration out of captivity. God says, when I turn the captivity of my people, when I bring them out of their bondage, when I restore them to my presence and to my inheritance, he said, I will be the God of all the families of Israel. All the families in the house of the Lord, all the families represented together. When the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. When the Lord turns the captivity, our mouths fill with laughter, our tongue was singing. Job chapter 42, and we look at this beautiful verse or two. Job chapter 42, Job endured a captivity, a trial, difficulty, felt so isolated, so alone. Many of his friends and acquaintances walked away from him, left him on his own in an hour of trial, but God was doing a work in the man of God. And then Psalm 42, when the captivity was turned and there was restoration, the Bible says in verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And then this precious verse, then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him. and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. When God restored Job, when God brought him out of that trial and captivity, it shows us the heart of God that this was the blessing of the Lord, that the friends would come, the family members, the relatives would come, and they would come with blessing. They would come with comfort, with prophetic words that would bless his life and encourage him. And they came with some finances to help him get back on his feet after the situation he was in. What a beautiful blessing of the Lord. It shows us the desire of God that our families fellowship together, eat bread together, and love one another. It's the year of Jubilee coming to a close. It's the year of Jubilee. It's the year of the acceptable year of the Lord. This morning, the Lord's word is still the same today till Jesus Christ comes again. You can hear him saying, I proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. It's to everyone, to all inhabitants. And today, first of all, release to the captives. Perhaps you're here today and you have never given your life to Jesus Christ. You're under the bondage and power of sin. Come and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and get that load of sin off your life, the weight of sin, and follow Jesus Christ in the liberty that he gives every person, the freedom that comes in righteousness and peace. Maybe you're struggling with some area of sin today. You're in sin today. That you would today, as the Bible says, break off your sins in righteousness. Break off your sins. Immoralities, temper tantrums, depressions, strife, whatever it is. Today you say, I'm going to break off my sins. Because the year of the Lord has come. The Lord has given me freedom that I don't have to walk under the oppression of these sinful habits and manners that have come into my life. And that the Holy Spirit from today onward, every time you come up against the temptation to fall back into that sin, that the Holy Spirit will cut across your life so powerfully and you will have that split second and you'll know, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm not going back to that old way of life. There's release to the captives today. Receive it from the Lord. Return to inheritance. Perhaps you've been slothful and idle, and you know in your heart you haven't been as fruitful and productive as you should be. There's a point we know that our conscience commends us before God, that we're walking properly before the Lord. But then when we begin to slack, we begin to drift, we know in our own conscience that it's not right. But perhaps today you say, I've got to become more fruitful. I'm going back into the Word. I'm going to raise up an inheritance. There's a place that's mine in the earth, and I'm the only one who can make it fruitful. I'm going to find the fruitful place of prayer. I'm going to go back into the worship with fire and zeal in my heart. I'm going to go back into all the areas where God has given me influence in my family, in my workplace. I'm going to come with a new spirit because I serve the Lord my God. Hallelujah. And a return to the family. Return to the family. Ask God to help you pour out divine love. Love your wives. Love your family with agape, divine love. It's the love of God. And as we draw closer to the Lord, his divine love is poured out more and more through our hearts, and we can love as the Lord loves. Let's stand together this morning. Place of prayer is open. The altars are open. Anyone here today that needs some captivity turned or needs prayer for some aspect of your life, physical needs or spiritual needs, some area where you're struggling, you say, I need people to pray for me today, to respond to me and lay their hands on me and bless me today. It's a new day. Hallelujah. It's the announcement of a new day. And it's from Jesus Christ himself. He said, I've come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The day of the abundant favors of God are for every person. We heard the trumpet sound, and now we live in his life and in his glory. Altars are open. If you'd like prayer, dedicate your life in some way afresh to the Lord. please slip out from where you are. Let's worship the Lord together.